I'm glad you're here this morning. Even more than that, you should be glad that you are here this morning. Because this morning, I have an offer of a lifetime. No, not an offer of a lifetime. An offer of an eternity. A deal you will not want to miss out on. This morning, I am offering to you my system, how to be wildly successful, highly respected, and absolutely miserable. Do you want success? Do you want respect? Do you want your life to be defined by the misery of being separated from God? Well, the answer is yes. I have the system for you. And this system has worked, folks. It works. I want to tell you about some examples of people who have been on my system and found all of the success and respect and misery that they were looking for. First, I'd like to introduce you to Adam and Eve. Highly ambitious. They built themselves up from nothing. When they started out, they didn't even have the shirts on their backs. They lived in an economic system where everyone was taking handouts. They weren't expected to work. They were just supposed to act like everything they needed just grew on trees. And who needs that sort of big government socialism? I say no. But Adam and Eve got on my program. They decided to better themselves. They realized if they're ever going to make a name for themselves, they would need higher education, knowledge. They sought the tree of knowledge of good and something else I don't recall, but I know good was in there, and knowledge. They set their sights high. They didn't want to be nobodies. They decided they were going to be like God. Now that is ambition. And look at all the benefits that they reaped. Adam learned to appreciate the value of a hard day's work, earning his keep in the fields. And Eve, well, aside from her designer fig leaf wardrobe, she learned to appreciate the little things in life, like multiplied pain in childbirth. I mean, the joy of baby's laughter. And all of this luxury and self-improvement and empowerment cost them was giving up walking with God in Eden and giving up the feeling of peace and comfort in the presence of God for an overwhelming sense of shame. And I say that is a small price to pay. Adam and Eve were on the system, and it worked. Or exhibit number two, Cain. You want ambition? Cain was truly a man after God's own approval rating. He brought forth a sacrifice to God that was second to none. Second to one. Right, it's close. Well, you have to admit, that's not too shabby. But not too shabby was not good enough for Cain. He knew what it took to be the best. And there was only one thing standing between him and being God's favorite, having the title of the best worshiper in the world, the best sacrificer anywhere. And that's really what it's all about, right, folks? Doesn't God want us to be number one? Cain got on the program, and he wiped out all of his competition. And along with his new successes, he also gained an unexpected benefit. For the rest of his life, everywhere he went, everyone knew Cain. It's like the world was cheers, and Cain was norm. He even had his own registered trademark, the Mark of Cain. Eat your heart out, the artist formerly known as Prince. He forever had to hide his face from God and spent the rest of his life away from the presence of God. But just look at all the success and fame that Cain had. And finally, I'd like to introduce you to a group of men who embody this system in all that they do. And I like to call them the Babel Builders. These men followed this system to the point that it's been said that nothing was impossible for them. They were top-notch communicators. See, check out the report cards hanging on their mom's refrigerators. Every one of them says, works well with others. And when they started this project, the sky was the limit. And actually for these guys, not even the sky was the limit. They aimed for the heavens. And these guys, they really made a name for themselves, just like they set out to do. Well, you know, ignore the fact that we don't know any of their names. But hey, we're reading about them, right? That's got to count for something. That means they're successful. What, the finished product? The project? There were some conflicts in concept. You see, they conceived a plan to take the place of God, and God conceived a plan to make it so they could never work together again. But nevertheless, the Babel Builders are a success story for my program. How to be wildly successful, highly respected, and absolutely miserable. Not convinced yet? Well, let me warn you about a man who did not heed this sound advice. A very sad case of a man named Abraham. This guy just didn't get it. Failed to learn from the successes of his predecessors. He relied on a promise from somebody else his whole life. And that's just a bad business model. He was promised land, but by the time he died, the only land he owned was the grave where he buried his wife. And the possessions that he did receive from others were more given to him to get rid of him than to help him. And burning bridges is not a way to build a good reputation. Descendants, I heard that was important to him. But by my count, when he died, he only had 9 sons. One that his wife drove away, one that turned out okay, you know, once somebody stopped him from killing him, and 7 that are so obscure you're probably flipping through Genesis in your head trying to figure out who in the world I'm talking about. Check out chapter 25. There. I mean, that's a big family, 9 kids, but a pretty small seashore, wouldn't you say? And other than that lovely gravesite real estate, all he had to show from his life was righteousness and repeated blessings and covenants from the Lord of all things, the creator of heaven and earth, author and sustainer of all that has the breath of life in it, seer of all things visible and invisible, the Lord of hosts, the divine one in whose image all humans have been made, whose hand carved out the mountains and the seas, whose voice shakes the foundations of the earth and yet calms the troubled soul, the name above all names, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the divine ruler of the cosmos in whose presence Abraham was said to walk. That's all. Now, I guess some people value that sort of thing. But has anyone ever compared him to Norm from Cheers? I think not. So, you need my system. How to be wildly successful, highly respected, and absolutely miserable. So what do you think? Anybody on board? All right. Now, would you go for that sales pitch? Now, it's kind of silly when we put it that way, but I think we do hear this pitch a lot. We hear this kind of pitch. We hear about the things that we should run after, the things that matter, you know, that we're told. And it's not a bad thing to want to excel in the things we do. And it's not a bad thing to want to build a solid reputation in your community. I mean, these things are honorable. These things are biblical, right? I mean, I could stand up here and preach a biblically based, well-reasoned sermon advocating either one of those pursuits, and nobody would bat an eye about it. Nobody would, you know, corner me afterward and say, how dare you say that? Yeah. It's biblical. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for God and not for human masters, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Or 1 Timothy 3:7, he must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Or here's one that can work for both. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That'll preach, right? So this is not one of those lessons where I'm going to get up here and say, well, this is what the world values, but be not deceived, for I will show you the righteous way that will allow you to rise above all of this. God, Jesus, Bible, Jesus, 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 come forward to stand and sing. It's not that kind of lesson. That would be insincere and, frankly, unhelpful. I want to be successful. I want a good reputation. I want all of us to have success and a good reputation. So there must be something else going on here than just wanting those things. So what does Abraham get right where Adam, Eve, Cain, and the Babel builders get it wrong? Well, let's look at those three miserable scenes and the ways the action plays out. Exhibit A, Eve and then Adam, they decide to eat the fruit after a conversation with the serpent. She knew what God said, but took the serpent at its word that she had heard it wrong. God confronts, and there's punishment. Exhibit B, Cain decides that the best way to be most favored in God's eyes was to kill the competition, his brother. God had warned him about the danger of failing to master the sin crouching at his door, but Cain did it his way. God confronts, and there's punishment. Exhibit C. The Babel builders seek to make a name for themselves by building a tower to the heavens so that they won't be scattered. God confronts them, and they are scattered. All three of these scenes involve working behind God's back and trying to cover their tracks. The Babel builders were trying to get their job done before God noticed. And both Eve and Cain tried to explain their decisions to God. They thought if God just understood why they decided what they did, they might be in the clear. God would get it. But here's the thing. If you have to explain your decision-making process to someone, then that someone wasn't involved in making the decision. Right? Abraham might not ever be accused of being overly ambitious or savvy. You know, when he left Ur, he didn't even know where he was going. God said go, and he went. God made promises, and he trusted. Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham never had to explain his decisions to God, because Abraham's decision-making process included conversations with God. He didn't try to work behind God's back. He didn't keep God in the dark or be so foolish to think that that's even possible to do. You know, Isaiah described Abraham as God's friend. The Babel builders wanted to make a name for themselves. Cain wanted to be number one. Adam and Eve wanted to be like God. But Abraham was content to live with God. He discovered that in God's eyes, it's better to be chosen than to be number one. And he learned that self-made names, even self-made great names, rarely last. Where Abraham went right when the others went wrong had nothing to do with shrewd planning or great insight or flawless decision-making. It had everything to do with his heart. Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Even if he didn't know what he was doing, he knew to stay in conversation with God, conversation with his friend. Incredible thing to be able to say. And in doing so, God granted Abraham the favor and the blessings that the others in this lesson were seeking. You know, like I said before, I want all of you to be wildly successful. And I want you to be highly respected. But even more than that, I pray that you do not end up miserable like our examples today. Seek the good things, but seek them with God at your side, or even better, with God leading the way. What did Jesus say? What good is it for someone to gain the whole world but lose his soul? So what does that look like? What does that look like to be more like Abraham than like the other three that we're looking at? Well, you know, that miserable trio, they tried to keep God on the sideline while Abraham stayed in conversation with God. So I guess the first question is, how is your prayer life? Are you in conversation with God in all things? Do you bring God the things that really matter? Or are there certain areas they say, I'll take care of this? Are you in conversation with God regarding the decisions that impact your success and your reputation? Or are you preparing your defense for when confronted about it later? How about the people in your life that you're taking advice from? Are they pointing you toward God? Or are they telling you something else is really more important? The bottom line, or comfort, or whatever else. Are we being pointed toward God or away? Are there areas of your life that you figure God doesn't care about? And that God doesn't need to be involved in? Or are there areas that you're hoping God doesn't get involved in? When we try to hide, it doesn't work. We need God in all areas of our lives. Now, I know these are big questions. And these are questions that no one can answer for you. But they are crucial that you do not ignore. Otherwise, you may just end up wildly successful, highly respected, and absolutely miserable. If you need to talk to someone this morning about those decisions, let us know. We have people who would love to share their experience, their wisdom, to talk about those decisions. And if you've been putting God to the side or putting off following his commands, and you need to dedicate your life today, this is the time. If there's anything we can do, this is a family. We want to be there for each other. Please come forward as we stand and sing.
As thine affection's been nailed to the cross, is thy heart.